I'd like to take a permission first from Brother Shamshad that since the topic on dealing with difficult questions is quite an involved one, so to avoid too much divergence of thought, I'll begin with that and we see what we do with time, because that's the main topic really for my presentation. The topic, especially with respect to the assault on the person of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a topic that is important in its own right and more important in the world of the post-September 11. It is important in its own right because from the very beginning of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, unlike many of his brother prophets before, there have been detractors and there have been powers and interest groups who could not stand that Islam with the equality, justice, mercy that it's capable of bringing should be spread, especially those who benefit most from the oppressive situation in the world at the time of all of these prophets, for that matter. I think it's a similar history that we find. In the case of Islam, they have been three-pronged attack from the beginning that continued over the centuries for 1400 years. One is to attack the teachings of Islam itself. Secondly, is to attack the scripture of Islam, the Quran, in terms of both its authority as well as preservation and authenticity. And thirdly, an attack on the person who is not worshipped by Muslims, but a very important personality through whom that Quran, the revelation, was revealed, the last prophet as Muslims believe in, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So in that sense, these three-pronged detraction is not new. It's actually recycled. It is more important in the post-September 11 world because we see again, like I said, recycling of some of these old, new, or new-old type of questions raised about the integrity and the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Given the limited time we have, as we have to break just before Maghrib to resume again with the other fellow speakers, I'd like to focus more particularly on the Prophet. And even in the case of the Prophet, more specifically on two questions or objections raised that he could not qualify as a prophet because of them. The first, the way he treated non-Muslims, especially allegation that he persecuted, quote-unquote, or massacred Jews in Medina because they rejected him as a prophet. And secondly, the question of his marriages. Let me begin first with his treatment of non-Muslims. And here again, we distinguish between two periods, just for the sake of ease and chronology. The Meccan period, the first 13 years of his mission, when Muslims were persecuted, and the Medinan period, the remaining 10 years of his mission. In Mecca, we find that his encounter included encounters with at least two groups. One is the idolatrous Arabs, the other is with Christians. As far as the encounter with idolatrous Arabs, we find that it is subdivided also into two types, positive and negative. By positive, we mean his encounter with those who rejected Islam but did not seek to hurt or undermine Islam or the Prophet and how he dealt with them. The best example for this is his uncle, Abu Talib. Abu Talib did not accept Islam until his death. But He did not put obstacles before the Prophet. He even defended the Prophet and his right to preach what he believed in or claimed to have received as revelation. For that type of relationship, the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, more than reciprocated that courtesy. He loved his uncle in spite of his idolatrous beliefs so dearly. He respected him and he treated him with all kindness that is owed to a peaceful non-Muslim. But we have also the encounter in Mecca with those who showed aggressiveness and hurt the Prophet and Muslims and tortured them. There are many examples. Let me give you two. The first is one of his other uncles, Abu Jahl. In fact, it was reported that one time Abu Jahl passed by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he started abusing him verbally in a very, very ugly way. Then there was a young lady who was overhearing this kind of conversation or discussion. She kept watching what's happening. After Abu Jahl has his vile words against the Prophet simply looked at him but did not respond. A few minutes later, another uncle of the Prophet, Hamza, was coming from his hunting trips. And Hamza also, like Abu Jahl, did not believe or did not accept Islam and follow the Prophet. Then he passed by that young lady and she tells him, Hamza, do you realize what happened to your nephew, Muhammad? He said, what? He said, Abu Jahl abused him so badly. He said, what did Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do or say? He said he didn't reciprocate with evil words. He just left him, moved away from him. It was that nobility of the Prophet in the face of abuse, which is one of his characteristics, that softened the heart of Hamza. And that was actually the turning point in his life. Hamza, he was a very husky, strong, and aggressive person by nature, actually. He walked right to the Kaaba, where Abu Jahl was sitting with the chieftains of Quraysh. And he hit him with his bow on his head, caused him an injury. And he said, you abuse Muhammad. I say what he says, and I follow his religion. You can see the magic of kindness vis-a-vis responding to evil with evil. The second example is amazing in itself. How to deal even with those who are aggressors. At least one form of dealing. There are various ways. And that was when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, being persecuted and rejected in Mecca, sought to find some followers and a base, a secure base, to preach the word of God as he received it and believed in it. So he goes to a nearby township known as At-Ta'if. He goes there to talk to people, invite them to monotheism and so on. And then he's mocked first by adults. I'll give you an example of mockery. One of the people in At-Ta'if tells him, huh, you're telling me that you're a prophet? It is either you are a liar or truthful. And if you're a liar, I don't want to listen to a liar. And if you're truthful and you're indeed a prophet, oh, you're too big for me to sit and listen to. You can't win. But then, it didn't stop at that. They send their children and instigate them against the prophet. They start pelting him with stones. He starts bleeding. Blood goes into his sandals. And then he takes refuge in a wall of a garden that belongs to a couple of Christians, brothers. and he sits there